And I think it's fitting for us as we travel to 2018. And we talked about picking a side. In 2018, you got to pick whether you're going to serve Jesus or not. It's that simple. But tonight, I want to introduce you from the standpoint of look again. Look again. See, sometimes we have to be reminded of what God has done for us. We have to look back over where God has brought us from. Because we tend to forget. We have the tendency as human beings to forget how frail and fragile we really are. You know, I heard earlier, my brother stated that everything has an expiration date. And I think we forget that sometimes. You know, a lot of young people have the mindset of invincibility, so they do dangerous stuff and all kind of wild stuff, not knowing that it catches up with them when they get older, if they make it to old age. But we have to look again, because spiritually, we live as renegades. We wake up every day, we think that we woke ourselves up, we think we pulled ourselves up by our own bootstraps, and we don't realize it was God who put breath in your body this morning. It was God who clothed you in your right mind. It was God who protected somebody from running a red light and crashing into your passenger side and killing you or your spouse. It was God. And in 2018, we need to be Christians or people who don't take credit for anything. Don't take no credit in 2018. Give all glory and all honor to none other than Jesus the Christ. And magnify and elevate and exalt his name above all names. And I guarantee you, when we shift our attitude and we shift in that thinking process, God will do some mighty things in 2018 for us. So it's time for us to look at the word of God again. Amen. Let us have a word of prayer. Father God, we want to thank you tonight for allowing us the opportunity to come again to the house of the Lord. Lord, we know it's cold outside. We know it's late at night. But Lord, you never sleep nor slumber. And Lord, you are always there to hear our cry and hear our call when we're in desperation, Father God. And Lord, you have been so faithful to us in 2017. It could have been so much worse than what it was and the things we've gone through. But Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you for your blessings, and thank you for holding us and keeping us together, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us against the devourer and protecting us from the evil one, from destroying us from the inside out. Lord God, we ask, Lord, as we travel to the new year, that you would guide my words, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that something would be said from this book tonight, Father God, that will inspire us to serve you more in 2018. Lord, we thank you and we give you the praise. In Jesus' precious name, let the church say amen. 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 Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. And while you turn into 1 Kings chapter 18, I want you to put your finger in chapter 16 and 17 if you can. We're just going to look at a few verses in 16 and 17, but our main text is going to come from chapter 18. Amen. Give you a moment to get the 1 Kings. It's in the Old Testament again. And it's right before Chronicles. It's right before Chronicles. I want to set the backdrop before we get into the actual message of an individual by the name of King Ahab. King Ahab was the son of Omri. He was a king of Israel. But King Ahab, although he was a king of Israel, he did not serve the King of Kings and Lords of Lords. And we're going to see in verse 29, it says, "Now Ahab, the son of Omri, became king over Israel in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel for 22 years. Ahab, the son of Omri, did what? Evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him." See, I got to stop right here. Thank you, Jesus. I got to stop right here. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine about the world we live in today. It's a very wicked world, isn't it? We see wickedness on every corner. But Solomon says that there's nothing new under the sun. And see, so some of the sins that we're seeing more prevalent today were always there. But they're more prevalent today. And the things that the young people have to deal with today, we didn't have to deal with. But those things still existed because there's nothing new under the sun. So I said, let me explain this to us. Now, some of y'all may not be connoisseurs of automobiles, but I like old muscle cars, right? So back in the 60s and 70s, you had the old muscle cars, the Mustangs, the Barracudas, the Chevelles, the Camaros, and things like that, right? Now, and y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, just take your mind back to memory lane. If a car back in the 70s had 250 horsepower, you were like the king of the road. That was a lot of horsepower back then. But today, they make Honda Civics with 275 horses. I want you to walk with me. Now, the Corvettes now stock come out with 500, 600 horses without even adding anything to the engine. So sin is the same way. The sin of today is the same, but it has more horsepower. And the more horsepower you have, the more damage, the more pull, the more torque that you can have on other people's lives. Y'all got to walk with me tonight. So, but we know that the God we serve has limitless power. He has limitless horsepower. So that's why we have to tap into the word of God to deal with the horsepower of sin. So when the engine of sin creeps up and is ratcheted up, we tap into the word of God, which is infinite in strength and power. Let me tell you something. If you are expecting to win in 2018, you cannot do it without having some word inside of you. This is the only way you're going to be able to keep up with the horsepower of society that we live in. This is the only way you're going to have the octane. This is the only way you're going to have the gas. This is the only way you will be able to filter the junk that comes in your life every day. You have to use the word of God. You have to drink the word of God, eat the word of God, sleep the word of God, because you're going to need the strength to keep up with the horsepower of sin. Same sin, much stronger. Are y'all with me? It says, Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord. More, let the church say more. More than all those who were before him. It came about as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he married Jezebel, let the church say Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went to serve Baal and worshiped him. So he marries a foreigner, i.e. Jezebel. Jezebel, because he's connected to his wife, she's not worshiping the same God that he's supposed to serve. So because they two become one, guess what? Her God became his God. But because he didn't realize who the true God was, he followed his wife to worship a false god, i.e. Baal. Are you with me? So catch this. It says he served and worshiped Baal. So he erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. Ahab also made the Ashtoreth. Thus Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel than all the kings of Israel who were before him. Church, in 2018, you better watch who you connect with. Because you might be connecting with someone who worships a false idol. And you can't be in close proximity with somebody without agreeing with their lifestyle. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together except they be in agreement? In 2018, you will have a lot of propositions brought your way. You're going to have a lot of people wanting to partner with you, but you better make sure that they have a fear of the same God you have a fear of. Is anybody with me? Now, let's go over to, now that we set the backdrop, let's go to chapter 17, one verse. 17, one verse. When you have it, say amen. So we see that Ahab, see, let me tell us something before I get to my point. Sin will always deliver a consequence. Sin will always produce a consequence. You cannot do what you want to do in 2017 and not expect God to come back in 2018 with the baby of what you produced. You see, the things we do in life, we sow seeds, whether we know it or not. And every seed that you plant has to come to bear, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So in 2018, we all need to rededicate ourselves to a higher level of worshiping God and put Him first. Don't let God be an afterthought in 2018. Isn't it amazing how we want God to make our crisis His emergency? But yet we won't lift a finger to worship Him when everything we are and everything we have is because of Him. Are you with me? Let's look at the consequence of his evil. He says, now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, see, you can do all your dirt, but God going to show up and speak to you on it. Anybody with me? He says, the Lord, the God of Israel, as the Lord of God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, surely, let the church say surely, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. So we saw the sin of Ahab. Now we see the judgment of God. Ahab did his thing. He turned his back on God. He started worshiping a false idol. So God said, now I'm going to bring judgment to your house. There will not be no rain and no dew for 3.5 years. Now, you may say, okay, what's the big deal about that? Well, when you live in an agricultural society where your commerce and your resources are purely based on what's planted and what's grown, then that means a whole lot. See. When there's no corn, then you're, if I can use this term, I'm just going to use some farm animals. I'm just picking them all over the place. Just walk with me for this example. If there's no corn, you say, well, I don't need corn. I still can eat chickens. But what do chickens eat? Corn. So no corn causes the chickens to die. No chicken means you don't have anything to eat. You don't have any eggs, nor do you have any meat. So if you are a farmer, you can no longer sell. So now your farm is going bankrupt. Y'all see the connection? See, anytime we sin, sin always has a chain behind it. And that chain has a long tail. And the devil will not allow you. He will only show you just the face of it. He won't show you the tail of it. So Elijah gives this judgment to Ahab. He says, look, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. Now, let's get to chapter 18. And as you turn into chapter 18, my first point is disobedience will cause God's provisions to dry up. Disobedience to God will cause God's provisions to dry up. Are you with me? Has anybody ever had anything dry up in your life? Are you currently living in a drought right now? Nothing's going right. Relationship's not going right. It could be because there's some disobedience. Are you with me? So that's the first point. We see that Elijah made it clear that Ahab was in disobedience, and now he's going to suffer for it, and he's going to have a drought in his life. Then when we get to 18, go to verse 36. This is the main part of the text. It says, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back again. See, let me tell you something. When you're facing drought in your life, the purpose of a drought is to turn you back to God. Because God is the source of your spiritual water. So he will let you run and run and run until you run out of water. And when you run out of water, you can't go and replenish it without his okay. And God is never going to bless us to walk away from him. Are you with me? So he says, when he says here, O Lord, answer me. You have turned their heart back again. Verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Then Elijah said to them, Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slew them there. The point I want to make out of this is, at this point here, it was Elijah against 450 prophets of Baal. Okay? And they had a contest. It was at Mount Carmel. They had a contest. Elijah said, how long would you juggle between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. So he set up a contest. Whatever God can burn the sacrifice up, that's the God that you need to serve. So the prophets of Baal, all 450 of them, was calling on their God, their false God, and he wouldn't answer. And then Elijah called on the true and living God, and God showed up and showed out. Are you with me? And as a result, Elijah told the people, these are false prophets. You need to kill them off. See, let me tell us something. We have to clean house and clear our conscience so that God can hear our cries. First, see, this is the thing. In 2018, you may realize that you were in a drought. But the drought is because we have not been obeying God as we should. Once you turn back to God, that's not the only thing you have to do. In 2018, we got to look again and see, what do I need to clean out of my house? What do I need to clean out of my conscience? Because you cannot expect 2018 to be different using a 2017 mentality. Oh, you got to catch this. You cannot expect a river with a drought mentality. God is saying here, he said, look, now that you see that God that I serve is true, you got to kill these prophets off. You can't leave any sign of them left. It's just like a doctor who sees cancer. No good doctor is going to see your body have cancer in it and say, you know what, let's just take 30% out of it. We're going to take 30% of the tumor out, sew you back up, and go and have a good day. No, because any good doctor knows that cancer metastasizes. If you don't take all the cancer out that you can see with the MRI machine or with your eye, whatever you use as an instrument, that doctor knows that cancer can reproduce very quickly. So you cannot play with something that can reproduce. When you are entertaining false gods, when you are entertaining people close to you and they're not serving the God you serve, you got to cut off some negative associations. You got to cut off some bad relationships, because those relationships will metastasize in your household. They will metastasize in your life. And next thing you know, you have a tumor of relationships. You got to cut it out. You can't leave any of it. Because one sale can become 100 sales. This is why God is saying, look, in 2018, you better choose who you're going to serve. You can't serve God and serve yourself. It's your choice. But we have to be like Joshua. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But that's a question you got to ask yourself. So we got a clean house, amen? Now, it's not my job to tell you what you need to clean out of your house. You and God know what you need to clean up. You know what's on your conscience. But in 2018, you got to clean it up. And my last point is this. We must watch as well as pray, even when we don't see anything. In 2018, you have to pray and pray and pray that God will answer your prayer regardless of what you see. This is where true faith comes in. Let's look at the word. Verse 4-1. It says, now Elijah, let the church say now. Now Elijah, see, now we know they cleaned house, okay? They got rid of all these false prophets. He said, now Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of a roar of heavy rain. Hold on. There was a drought for 3.5 years, right? How in the world could Elijah hear that rain was coming and he didn't see it? See, when you connect yourself to God, God will show you things before they show up. When you walk in close with God, he will reveal some things before they get revealed. He will show you about some partnerships and some relationships that you don't need to have before the person pulls the knife out and stabs you. Because God sees all. He knows the heart of man. He knows how deceptive man can be. And God will put conviction on your heart so heavy. It's like, Lord, why is it so heavy? Why does the hair stand up on the back of my neck with this person? Because God says, if you walk with me, I will be your eyes for you. I will be your ears for you. So you will hear things that the average person can't hear because you spent time with me. I hope somebody's getting something out of this tonight. Elijah says, I hear a storm coming. Let's keep going. It says, verse 43, he said to his servant, let the church say servant, go up now and look towards the sea. Now we got to understand this. Let me give you a backdrop of what this situation looks like. Mount Carmel is 1,720 feet in the air. That's the elevation of Mount Carmel. And the Mediterranean Sea is approximately 12 miles away from the summit of Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel had a plateau. That's where the altars were, the Baal worship altars were. That's where the contest was. But catch this. From the plateau, you can't see the sea. If you know anything about meteorology or the weather, storms come from the water. They don't come from land. So over the sea, y'all remember all the 1,000 hurricanes we had this year? Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irene. And we saw the devastation. All of those storms were born from the sea. So in order to see what was coming, you had to have a clear view of the ocean or the sea. You follow me? So catch this. This is no small thing here. He says, he told his servant, go up now. Notice he said go up. So the servant had to go up another 40 to 50 feet in order to see the Mediterranean Sea. Because where Elijah and the people were, you couldn't see the sea, which was 12 miles away. So the servant had to believe the word of the man of God. And he had to run out the vision that the man of God had. So he said, run up and tell me what you see. Okay? Now, catch this. He says, so he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. You ever prayed all night and God still didn't answer? You ever cried all night, drenched your pillow with tears because you've been hurt and it seems that God is ignoring you? Guess what? The Bible says, pray and not faint. Pray without ceasing. So just because you don't see the answer today don't mean the answer won't come next year. But between today and next year, you have a responsibility. And that responsibility is to seek God's face through prayer even when you don't see anything. There are some things in our life right now is not moving. It seems like there's no door opening. It seems like there's a constant blockade. But guess what? God does not want you to be concerned about the blocked door. He wants you to be concerned about the communication not being blocked with him. Because he's the one that moves the blocked door out of the way. He's the one that opens up the window. He's the one that opens up the door. That's not my responsibility in 2018. He's the one who heals. He's the one who restores. So my job is not to try to restore somebody. My job is not to try to heal somebody. My job is to be able to communicate with the King of Kings and Lords of Lords and let him do the work. But I have to be patient, I have to be courageous, and I have to be content where he has me. Is anybody with me? He says, there is nothing. And he said, go back. How many times? Okay, let's do some mathematics. We are over 1,000 feet above sea level. We just finished fighting 450 prophets of Baal. You tell me to climb up 50 to 60 feet. Okay, it wasn't like a smooth walk. He had to climb some rugged rocks to get to the top. I come back one time. You tell me, I tell you there's nothing there. You tell me to go back again. I come back again. I say there's nothing there. You tell me to look again. I go back up there, and there's nothing there. Now, let's do some mathematics. If it was a 40-foot climb up, that's a 40-foot descent back down to tell you there's nothing there. So it feels like so that's 80 feet. Let's do some math. 8 times 7 is 56. So this servant had to be in some shape. So he had to climb a total of 560 feet before God showed up. Oh, you got to catch this. You're not walking with me. See, sometimes you may have prayed for 365 days for God to move in your life. And God say, pray again. And then you can say, Lord, I done prayed. I prayed in 2014. He said, pray again. Well, Lord, I prayed in 2015. Pray again. I prayed in 2016. Pray again. Well, now it's 2017. It's almost over and nothing's happening. God said, pray again. You got to pray again. You got to look again. Well, I don't see the answers in the Word of God. Look again. Because all the answers to life's questions are in the Word of God. But you have to have the energy. You have to have the stamina. You have to have the endurance and long suffering to seek God's face over and over and over and over, even when he's quiet on you. Are you with me? He said, go back 7 times. Now, this servant could have been hot. He said, you know what, man? I done been up there 3 times. How about we tag team and you go up there, Elijah? Do it yourself. You ever done some construction work and you have to climb some steps? And it's like, when you go down there, get the tools, get the hammer, get the drill, and you get up to the top of wherever you are, and you realize you forgot the nails. So it's like, oh my goodness, I'm at the top of this ladder. I gotta put everything down and go all the way back down and get the nails. Then you go up with the nails, and you forgot the tape measure. So you just keep forgetting, so you get frustrated. So you may say, you know what, I'm gonna get somebody, you do it yourself. I'm gonna get somebody else to do it. But see, all of us have an assignment. And your assignment is not my assignment. But you need to complete your assignment. And let me tell us something. God is watching all of our lives. And God has commanded us to complete the assignment that he's given us. You can't do my assignment. I can't complete your assignment. But guess what? We all gonna have to stand before a holy and righteous God one day and give an account for the assignment we completed or did not complete. That servant knew that Elijah was the man of God. So because of Elijah's faith, that gave him the fortitude to climb a rocky mountain seven times. Catch this. Verse 44. It came about at the what time? That he said, behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. See, this is the thing. God does not have to give you the whole car. He just has to show you the car keys. Holding up car keys lets me know there's a car close by. Sometimes God will not show you the whole flame. He'll just show you a spark. Because if I get a spark, I can get a flame. Are you with me? When you see confirmation in your life, don't look for it to be gigantic. Don't look for it to be grandiose. Don't look for it to be so monumental and dramatic. Sometimes it can be something as small as a spark. But that spark is all you need to strengthen your faith to keep trusting God. See, sometimes when we go to the doctors, you may not tell me that the cancer is completely gone. But all I need is you to tell me that it's getting better. And I'm going to take it's getting better. And I'm going to keep fighting it. See, God don't always do stuff overnight. But he'll give you just enough for your faith to remain strong in him. That, hey, if he can do the small things in life, he can do the big things in life. See, the Bible declares in the New Testament, he who is faithful over a few things will become master over many things. See, the way you treat your animal, the Bible even talks about that. It tells me how you'll treat your own children. See, if you can't be faithful in the small, infinitesimal things of life, then you're going to be irresponsible in the grand things. So in 2018, instead of us looking for the big things to master, master the small things. Master the small things in life. Are you with me? It says, a small cloud the size of a man's hand is coming up from the sea. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you. See, we got to understand, Elijah already knew heavy rain was coming. But the servant had to see that heavy rain was beginning. See, different people are at different stages of faith. And some people can look at your life and see great things in your life. But you need to be shown the small things in life. He says, go ahead and tell Ahab to prepare his chariot and go down so the heavy shower does not stop you. In a little while, the sky grew black with clouds and wind. And there was a heavy shower. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and outran Ahab to Jezreel. Let me tell us something. When you pray and you pray and you pray, God will give you supernatural strength that can surpass human understanding. will give you supernatural patience that will surpass human comprehension. But you got to be a person of prayer. You have to serve God. Now, Elijah was given supernatural strength in his legs to outrun a horse. See, chariots are pulled by horses. So let's break that down to the nuances. The fastest man that was ever recorded running ran 23.1 miles per hour. Okay? If I could use the example of Usain Bolt, he's an Olympic sprinter. He runs around 23, 24 miles an hour. The average horse runs between 45 and 50 miles an hour. Okay? Y'all got that in your head? But God gave Elijah special strength to outrun a horse that's designed to run 45 to 50 miles an hour. Now, the last time I checked, I don't always drive the speed limit, I'm going to confess. But the last time I checked, saints, if you go to any interstate, the speed limit is 55. So can you imagine seeing a man in a robe? Walk with me. Visualize this. You're driving in your car, and you're seeing a man in his robe running beside you at 50-something miles an hour. Because the average horse runs 45 to 50 miles an hour. Now, if you look at the chariots, a king's chariot was pulled by two horses. So one man, because he was connected to God, was given supernatural ability to outrun nature. See, because God got in the way. God intervened. See, when God intervenes in your life in 2018, he will give you the strength to outrun your problems. He will give you strength to outrun your criticism. He will give you strength to outrun those things that should have destroyed you in 2017. But the question is, are you willing to look again? Are you willing to look at God again? Are you willing to look at church again? Are you willing to look at faithfulness to God again? Because I guarantee you, if you look again, you'll run again. And those things that beat you down in 2017 won't have the same grip on you in 2018 because you looked in the right direction. Amen. It says he girded up his loins and he outran. Notice it didn't say he kept up with the horses. Now, if he kept up with the horses, that would have been a miracle. But the Bible says he outran the horses. What is it that we need to outrun in 2018? What sin do you struggle with that keeps catching up with you? Because you just can't outrun it. If you keep trusting God, he will give you power. He will give you strength to outrun those things that grip us so tight. Is anybody with me? So we saw from tonight that disobedience will cause God's provisions to dry up. We also saw tonight that we have to clean house. We have to clear our conscience so that God can hear our cries. And lastly, we saw that we must watch as well as pray, even when we don't see anything. If you don't expect anything from God, there's no need to pray to God. There's no need to pray. If you don't expect God to move in your life, there's no need to pray to him. When you come to God, you must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that may require you climbing some mountains in your life. And that may require you fighting some battles in your life. And it may require you getting somebody to look for you while you cry and pray to God. But you keep doing it, and God will show you that he heard you. Let us pray. Father God, Help us, Lord, to look again at the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to look again at Jesus Christ. Jesus came to die for the sins of the world. Jesus was buried and he rose on the third day with all power and glory. If there's anyone here under the sound of my voice,